and welcome to episode 57 of the Nightlight Stories podcast, recorded on April 26th, 2013. This podcast tells one original story each episode that will light up the imaginations of children of all ages, anytime, anywhere. I'm your host and narrator, Miss Mel.
Hey, Miss Mel, after grocery shopping, can we go to the bookstore?
Of course we can, but why, Mr. Chris? Is there something we need?
Well, it's just we finished number 28 of the Magic Treehouse series. We need to pick up number 29 to read next.
Wow! We've read 28 books in that series already? That sure is a lot, Mr. Chris.
Yeah, and there's even more books after that in the series.
I just love how each story builds upon one another. We're so totally hooked.
Yeah, each installment brings you deeper and deeper into the story. I love that. Hey, you know something else, Miss Mel? We should start a series.
Well, you know, Mr. Chris, our next story could be the start of a series.
You're absolutely right. This next story isn't actually a complete story yet. It's only part of a story.
That's right. It's part one, and part two will be coming out in the next episode.
Well, let's not keep people waiting any longer.
You got it, Mr. Chris. As you listen to part one of the story, consider the following. Where do you think your good ideas come from? Pagona Viticeps, Part 1, by Chris and Melissa Bouguet. The bearded dragon perched atop a plastic log, staring directly into Vivian's eyes. His own eyes rolled toward a cricket, scrambling in the corner of the terrarium, and then, satisfied there was no escape, lulled his eyes back toward Vivian. "Please, Dad, I love him!" Vivian pleaded, the wireframes of her glasses nearly clinking off the wall of the tank. "He's gorgeous!" "I said we'd look at him, not buy him," her father said with a shake of his head. "I know, but this one is perfect, and you're only allergic to dogs, cats, and other mammals. You're not allergic to lizards. Please, 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 can I have him?" Vivian wanted a pet ever since her 10th birthday earlier in the year. It was just her and her father at home, and she really wished she had someone to play with nearby. Her father's allergies, however, made having anything more than a fish impossible. That was until she did an internet search for exotic pets and stumbled upon a website dedicated to bearded dragons. Instantly, she was drawn to the creatures with the scaly, thorny bodies. There was something about them that resonated with her. The spikes surrounding their heads reminded her of her own short, frizzy hair. Their serious, roaming eyes seemed to match her inquisitive personality. Her father had bought her a furry robotic creature that muttered its own language and sang nonsensical songs as a substitute to having a live pet. Vivian had played with it for a day, but found herself heading back to her family's tablet computer to swipe through picture after picture of bearded dragons. The triangular heads, row of horns, and long thin tails made it easier to forget that her grandmother, Nuna, was sick in the hospital after having something called a stroke. She had been very close to Nuna, and every time she thought of her, she felt like crying. Thinking about bearded dragons meant she wasn't thinking about Nuna, and, for now, that's what she needed. What started as flipping through images of the creatures turned into studying facts and learning about their habitat, diet, and care. She read about how they were indigenous to Australia and allegedly brought over to the United States illegally back in the 1970s. She made it a point to know that the creatures could grow to be 2 feet long, ate fruits and insects, and generally lived to be about 12 years old. Most importantly, she knew that bearded dragons were docile, gentle creatures that liked to be stroked, held, and loved by humans. The corners of her father's mouth curled up, but not in a smile. The look showed deep deliberation and internal conflict. Her father was actually considering making a purchase this time. They had been to the store no less than 5 times to look at the dragons. These visits made her feel better, so after their weekly trip to the hospital, they'd stop off at the local pet store. Each time, Vivian asked her father if she could have one, and every trip ended with the same disappointment. Dad, while you think it over, can I at least hold this one? Vivian asked. There's something special about this one, and I just want to hold him, please. Vivian's father nodded and said he'd be back with a store clerk. She nearly skipped with excitement. Convincing her father wouldn't be easy, but she was confident there was a way to get him to agree to take the dragon home. Then a flash of bright yellow light erupted in her mind. It was like stepping out of a dark room on a sunny day. The light blazed before her eyes, blinding her for a moment before an image materialized. Vivian saw herself folding clothes from a crumpled pile heaped in a laundry basket. The image rapidly dissolved, swirling in a mosaic of color, to be replaced with herself lifting a full bag of garbage out of the trash can in the kitchen. In another roar of color, the image transformed into her pushing a vacuum through the living room of her house. When the image disappeared, Vivian's eyes came back into focus on the lizard peering back at her, a single leg of a cricket dangling from its smiling mouth. Her father returned with a curly-haired teenager girl in a blue uniform shirt. The teen opened the lid of the terrarium, reached in, scooped up the dragon, and handed it to Vivian. Vivian instantly snuggled the dragon, cradling it in the crook of her neck. "What happened to him?" her father asked, pointing to the dragon's back. "Was it in a fight?" Two parallel raised pink ridges resembling scars ran from the dragon's neck past its shoulders. "Yeah, I guess so. I don't know what happened exactly. It wasn't my shift, but my friend said that when this dragon was in a cage with a couple of the other dragons, they didn't get along so well. She said there was a lot of hissing and their necks were swelling up, which means they are angry or scared or something. I don't know. She separated them, but maybe they got into it before she could take care of it." "So is he hurt?" Vivian's father asked. "Nah, he's been eating good. He's been drinking his water. I'd say he's fine," the girl stated. "But if you want him, I can give you a few bucks off because of the scars." "How much off?" her dad asked, ever ready for a bargain. "I don't know. Let's see, say 10 bucks off?" "Well, thanks, but I'm not even certain that we're going to get the dragon today. Plus, I'm not sure we'd want one that's been hurt." Vivian felt the momentum of the conversation swinging. If she was going to sway her dad, she had to make her move. "Please, can I have him? Dad, we're not going to find a better deal than this. I promise to do chores from now on. I'll fold the laundry, vacuum the house, and empty the trash each week. You know this is the only thing I really want, and I've studied so hard. Please, can I have him?" For extra effect, Vivian held the dragon up to her cheek. Together, the pair looked at Vivian's father with desperate, pleading eyes. "Please! I'll work so hard, and I won't let you down." "I need to know two things first," he said, reaching for his phone. "Anything, Dad, anything! First, can I get a picture of you two together?" Vivian nodded so quickly her glasses nearly flew off her face. It had worked! Her father was going to get her the dragon. "Of course! And make sure you post it! I want everyone to know! What's the second thing?" "What are you going to name him?" Vivian turned the dragon to face her, looked him up and down, and said, "Pagona. His name is Pagona, but I'll just call him Pogo for short." "Why Pagona?" her father asked. "Because Pagona viticeps is his scientific name. Well, that, and it just sounds cool." Over the next few days, Vivian kept her promise. After school, she'd rush into the house, check to make sure Pogo was comfortable, and then immediately set to work completing chores. Every day, Pogo climbed on top of his hide, a hollowed-out piece of wood Vivian found in the yard, to wait for her to finish. Once the work was done, she'd pluck Pogo from his terrarium and they'd play together. It took no time at all for Pogo to learn how to ride on Vivian's shoulder. Vivian enjoyed watching Pogo hunt for crickets when she took him outside for walks in the front yard. She fastened a makeshift harness out of pipe cleaners around his legs and coupled it to a lanyard she used as a leash. In truth, Vivian didn't think Pogo would run away, but she felt like using a leash was the responsible thing to do. Together, the two made discoveries such as tiny mounds in the lawn created by tunneling moles and green moss growing at the base of every tree. Vivian pretended the moles were invaders from another world, sent to this planet to capture the magical moss that was necessary for the trees to grow. Alone, her and Pogo were the world's last hope to stop the alien moles' plot of harvesting all the moss for themselves. Vivian had never been happier. 2 weeks after bringing Pogo home, Vivian noticed something weird about his terrarium. While cleaning the dust off the light bulbs, Vivian saw a residue, no larger than the size of a quarter, on the inside of the back glass. The circular mark was midnight black in the center, but grew to be a lighter gray toward the edges. At first, it looked like soot of some kind, and Vivian wondered if the basking light had somehow scorched the glass. That theory didn't seem to make much sense, though, because the mark was in one isolated area, and the light illuminated the entire habitat. Vivian wiped the smudge with her finger, and some of the black came off. She rubbed her thumb and forefinger together. The black spread. She sniffed it. It smelled like ashes from the fireplace. Concerned, she examined Pogo. Pogo smiled his big toothy grin. Vivian rubbed her clean finger along Pogo's back, and he stretched in enjoyment. Everything seemed to be fine. Then Vivian felt Pogo's scars. The two lines on his back had turned from pink to bright red. They felt hard, like stone, as if two pieces of copper wire were embedded underneath his scaly skin. Terrified of what this could mean, Vivian's heart leapt into hyperdrive. Her mother had left home when she was 3. Her grandmother was sick, probably dying. She couldn't have her new pet be sick, too. She turned to call for help when another yellow flash blasted her vision. It hit her like a giant wave crashing onto the surf. It was gone just as quickly, replaced with an image of Vivian placing a lush red apple into Pogo's terrarium. The image vanished, and in its place came a vision of Pogo sucking down slices from the vibrant orange. When the phantom Pogo bit down, the vision burst like a bubble. Like looking through rain-soaked glass, another image formed. This one was of Pogo munching on a cluster of plump grapes. Then, when she blinked, the images rolled back, one by one, as if someone had hit the rewind button in her mind's eye. She sprinted to the fridge, yanked on the door, and pulled out the fruit she needed. Leaving the door wide open, she flew back to her room to deliver the goods. The apple went in first, just like it had in her vision. Pogo walked around it and then opened his huge mouth and bit into it. He didn't exactly chew it. His teeth didn't grind like a human's. Instead, Pogo just opened and closed his maw, mashing the apple into a fine paste. Vivian took that moment to peel the orange and break it into slices. She placed it next to the apple, and Pogo took a bite of the citrusy fruit. Once he swallowed the piece of orange, Pogo looked up as if to say, "Well, come on, you know what's next." Vivian placed the grapes next to the orange. Pogo opened his mouth, a sliver of orange still hanging off one ragged tooth, and bit down on the grape. The juice spurted out, splattering on all 4 walls of glass. Pogo didn't seem to notice, reveling in his new treats. Vivian wasn't sure what was happening, but watching Pogo devour the fruit made her feel better. If he was sick, he couldn't eat like that. She still wasn't sure what had left the black mark, but she knew whatever it wasn't anything Pogo was worried about. Vivian spent the rest of the evening staring at Pogo as he finished every last bit of the fruit. It wasn't until he climbed into his hide and fell asleep that she decided to do the same. We hope you enjoyed part one of the story. We want to send out bright birthday wishes to Olivia of Ohio, Kylie of New Hampshire, Mason G. of Kentucky, Alessandra of New York, Ethan of Massachusetts, Annabeth of Illinois, Lily of New Jersey, Riley of South Dakota, Alex P. of Colorado, Riley of Colorado, Madeline, Oliver B., and Morgan B. Did you know that we have a Nightlight Stories Facebook page? We do! You can find a link to it on the blog at nightlightstories.net. Summer is fast approaching, and that means we'll be posting a lot of fun resources and activities that you can do together. If you have any quick and easy ideas to share, please feel free to post them on the Nightlight Stories Facebook page. As always, we look forward to watching the glow grow brighter with the many stories we can share together.